This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Transform your home in one weekend with paint from Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening, smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Means that the number one pick in the 2021 NBA draft goes to the Detroit Pistons.
Who's got the number one pick in this year's draft? Who's got the number one pick in this year's draft?
Basketball!
Select Isaiah Stewart.
The Detroit Pistons select Killian Hayes.
Sadiq, that was absolutely sensational.
I don't know what went into that process. I met the criteria to be selected, but I wasn't.
From long range.
Oh! Yes! Yes!
Detroit basketball!
Hello, Pistons fans, and welcome back to another edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast. Aaron Johnson and Jasper Apollonia here with you again this week. No Mike Anguilano. We're waiting for him, folks. He's holding out on us. It's free agency. He wants a new contract. He's demanding a new contract. We're hoping to have his contract figured out by next week. But for now, it's just me and Jasper. And so, Jasper, how are we doing?
I'm good. It's too bad. Unfortunately, Mike demanded that he be given a share of your gambling profits. He didn't realize that that actually put him on the line for several hundred dollars worth of losses. So, yeah, he does need to have that deal restructured. Needs to fire his agent, honestly. That was a terrible, terrible move for him. But hopefully we'll get it all figured out. He is moving into his new digs, apparently. And he has no food. So maybe we can get him back on here with the promise of like a Pop-Tart or something that might be able to do it.
Okay. Interesting question, because this has become like a reoccurring question in my life recently. What's your favorite Pop-Tart?
My favorite Pop-Tart is a toaster strudel. That's what I have to say to that. I don't care for Pop-Tarts, to be honest.
What?
It's too dry, man.
Oh no.
Way too dry. Also, I ate a bunch of the s'mores ones back when I was in high school. And you ever eat too much of something and like for like a short amount of time, and then 3 years later, you're just like, oh, I never want to eat that thing ever again in my life. That's kind of happened with me and Pop-Tarts. What about you, though? You strike me as like a classic strawberry kind of man.
All right. So for the longest time, the only Pop-Tarts I ever ate were the frosted chocolate chip.
Oh, yeah. I remember those.
Solid.
Yeah. Great breakfast food.
I tried frosted strawberry and changed my life. Very, very good. But I was really hoping we could have like a little Pop-Tart debate to start off the show. You totally killed it by saying you eat toaster strudels, but you won't eat Pop-Tarts. So
I like the icing packets, man. It's all about the icing packets. That's all I'm there for anyway.
Well, I guess we'll take a second here to talk about our sponsor of this week's show, BetOnline. BetOnline has all the latest odds, news, and information for all your online sports betting needs. Visit the website today and use your mobile device. Joining, you'll receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. Can't stress enough. That's a very, very generous first-time bonus. So before the next tip-off, face-off, or pitch, head on over to BetOnline and start playing today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And the featured odds of the week, we got the 2021-2022 NBA Championship. Lakers, the favorites at 3-1. Brooklyn Nets, 13-4. Golden State Warriors and Milwaukee Bucks 9-1 odds, and then the Suns at 14-1, Clippers at 16-1. Rookie of the year, Detroit Pistons very own Cade Cunningham 3-1. He is the favorite.
Love hearing that.
4-1. Evan Mobley at 6-1 behind him. Jalen Green, Scotty Barnes, James Bouknight, and Josh Giddey round out those odds. So, you guys, betonline.ag, 50% off on your first, or 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Make sure to check them out, and thank you to them so much for sponsoring this week's show, one of our loyal supporters. So, that being said, let's move on into the meat and potatoes of this show. And we're not going to do really like a Pistons news update of the week, because all of that news is like news we need to talk about. So let's get right into it. Free agency kicked off on Monday. The Pistons wasted no time spending a bunch of money on a big man. They wouldn't have it any other way. That's Troy Weaver's signature. And they started off free agency shocking us with a 3-year, $37 million deal to Kelly Olynyk. He was coming from the Houston Rockets as an unrestricted free agent, but plays the backup four, backup five, a marksman from beyond the arc. Jasper, a lot of people concerned about the money. It's a 2+1 deal. So first 2 years guaranteed. The third year is a team option. Your thoughts on that signing by Troy Weaver?
Yeah, I've said it on Twitter. I wasn't the biggest fan of this signing when it was first announced. I'm a little bit more in favor of it after I saw that that third year is a team option instead of a player option. This was an interesting signing, because both of us, I believe, on the podcast on Sunday stated that Kelly Olynyk was not really a guy we wanted, because we thought that the money was going to be somewhere around this range, and we wanted somebody more like Nerlens Noel, who we thought could be had for a little cheaper. Nerlens Noel ended up re-signing with the New York Knicks on a fairly similar contract, actually. I believe he's making, it's like 3 years, $32 million. So not that far off from Kelly Olynyk, but this is definitely one of those signature Troy Weaver free agency signings where you look at it at first and you go, on some level, this makes sense. On some level, this doesn't make sense. On a superficial team fit level, you get it. Look, Kelly Olynyk's going to be the backup center most likely. He's probably not going to be starting. In terms of a guy who shot like 40%, I believe, last year with the Houston Rockets from three, a career 37% shooter from deep, that makes a lot of sense with somebody like Cade Cunningham, Killian Hayes on the roster, two guys who can drive and kick out. Definitely makes sense on that level. But on another level, you did just trade Mason Plumlee, whose contract is expiring at the end of this year. He has a team option going into next season. You traded him to move 20 spots down in the second round, hopefully to free up some money for free agency, which you then went and spent on another backup center who's now going to cost you $5 million more per year for at least the next 2 years. And as we've mentioned on the podcast, does not have a track record of success in the playoffs when it comes to defense. He's somebody that opposing teams will pick on in pick and roll, especially because of his slow foot speed. Same age as Plumlee, so you didn't necessarily get younger. So really what you've done is you've moved down 20 spots in the draft to spend $5 million more per year on another backup center who might actually be less playable in the games that matter than Mason Plumlee was. All that is to say, Troy Weaver has proven us wrong before in the past with like the Jeremy Grant signing and even the Mason Plumlee signing to a certain extent. So yeah, it's a strange signing. I'm interested to hear what you think on this, Aaron, because I really have some mixed feelings here.
We're pretty much on the same page. He had a nice 27-game stretch with Houston to end the season and last year, 19 points per game, 8.4 rebounds, over 4 assists actually, shot over 54% from the field, 39% from the three-point line. So he had an incredible stretch, but there's just one, there's no way that lasts over a whole season. And two, that was in a huge role. I mean, he was one of the best players on the Rockets by the end of the year with all the guys that they had hurt between John Wall and Christian Wood. And that was just a miserable team in itself, tanking towards the bottom. But he's just there. You're not getting that same sort of production in Detroit. And I just felt that that was so much money for a guy that he's a different player than Mason Plumlee, but I don't know if he's better than him. And like you mentioned, I think you could have gotten away with playing Mason Plumlee in the playoffs. I think it's going to be a little bit harder with Kelly Olynyk. And yeah, I guess that's assuming a Detroit gets to the playoffs, but that's got to be your goal at this point when you're building a team and you have a young franchise guy in Cade Cunningham. Like, if that's anything we've learned over the last half decade or so, it doesn't matter that these guys are young when they come into the league. Like, the clock is immediately ticking on you to start putting something together, because you can't afford to annoy them and bother them 2 years into their career. They're going to be asking for a trade. But this, just too much money. I thankfully, that third year is a team option. And you can see that that's certainly what Troy Weaver is looking for. He's looking to line up all his money to open up in the next couple of years. These deals that he's signed this offseason align with the Jeremy Grant money. So you can certainly see what he's trying to do, the blueprint, the path. He wants to have a lot of cap space in two off seasons. When Jeremy Grant comes off the book, Blake Griffin will be off the book. There should be some palatable money to work with in a couple off seasons. But even so, just in a vacuum, I would have rather kept Mason Plumlee and saved $5 million and saved 20 spots in the draft, rather than spend $5 million, move 20 spots back in the draft for a player that I really don't think is a whole lot better than Plumlee. I will say the Pistons did need some shooting in the front court. Olynyk definitely does provide that. He will be a floor spacer, and he's going to help them win games in the regular season. I'm just concerned that in the playoffs, he's going to be too much of a defensive liability, that it's going to be unjustifiable to play him.
Yeah. I don't want to crap all over this signing. It's not a bad signing. There's just certain aspects of it that you have to question, and it's a little risky, especially considering next year. Yes, we've talked about in 2 years, you have a lot of money coming off the books with Jeremy Grant. However, you're in position right now next year to where you could sign a player to a max contract in a loaded free agency class that's going to have wing players, shooting guards that really you can see on paper can fit this team. So, you know, there's a question right there. Has Troy Weaver now kind of hamstrung himself going into next year's free agency to where he might have to do the same thing he did with Mason Plumlee, where he has to offload contracts for negative assets when that wasn't maybe necessary? And when you look at the money that's being thrown around there, yes, you know, he's getting only a little bit more than Nerlens Noel, but he's only getting, I believe, $1.5 million less per year than Rashawn Holmes, who I believe is a pretty superior option, especially in the pick and roll. So, yeah, on a superficial level, it makes sense. Like you hit on, Aaron, like, he's going to help them win regular season games this year and probably even next year. But from a long-term perspective, is this necessarily the signing I would have made? Is this a signing I like? No, not really. Because I can already see the issues that can arise from it.
If he was, so like, what would you have been comfortable paying him? Like, I would have felt a lot better if it was just under $10 million. Like, if it was $9 million, I'd probably feel a lot better. Like, 13 just seems like such a steep number for a backup big man in today's game.
The thing is, he has been making over $10 million. I believe he was making, what, $11.5 million per year over the last few seasons. So, with a cap going up, it was unlikely that he was going to be taking a big pay cut, especially considering that he was one of Houston's best players and really played quite well for them, I have to say. But like, he struggled with Miami earlier this year, and he struggled last year at times as well. So for me, yeah, I would have I would have been comfortable, I think, paying him $10 million a year, something like that. You know, it's not like 13 and a half is a huge, huge step up, but it is something. And Troy Weaver and the Pistons have not yet re-signed all of their restricted free agents. So when you're giving Olynyk this money, yes, in a vacuum, maybe it's not a big deal, but we don't know how much Hamadou Diallo is going to get. Now, to change the subject a little bit, we did discuss Hamadou Diallo last week and how much we would be willing to give him for that contract. You know, we settled, I think, in that like $12 million range. Based on the fact that there has not been an offer sheet from another team, another contract put towards Hamadou Diallo, it is looking like he's going to be able to be re-signed for less than that, maybe significantly less than that. And so you go, well, you know, we planned on $12 million for Hamadou. We're bringing him back for $8 million. You look at that and you make up the difference with the Olynyk contract. And actually we're $1 million under where we want it to be. I think you can look at it from that perspective, but overall for me, it's a slight overpay. Like I said, I think I'd $10 million, like you said, would not be too bad. But yeah, for me, a backup center, I would just have rather kept Plumlee for eight. I really would have. I understand why, but yeah, overall, I'm just not crazy about the signing. That's really all I have to say on it.
Well, Troy Weaver kept it going big in the early stages of free agency. He went next with a San Antonio Spur, Trey Lyles, a 2-year, $5 million deal. I'll speak first on this one. I just thought this was a horrific signing. Like, I get it's only $5 million, but you waived Tyler Cook. Sekou Doumbouya is 20 years old, and he's still on the roster, so you'd have to think he deserves some sort of shot. Just to sign a guy that has not even the Spurs could get Trey Lyles to be good. Not even the Spurs. Like, this is his fourth team. It's going to be his seventh year in the league. Like, he spent 2 years with each team, and that's all he's lasted. I don't get this at all. Like, he's a stretch four that shot is a career 34% three-point shooter. I just don't get the signing. I'm not a fan of it whatsoever. I would have rather kept Tyler Cook. I just don't get this one whatsoever. Like, I'm prepared to be wrong about Kelly Olynyk. I'm very confident that I will be right about Trey Lyles.
Well said. Well said. And I agree with what you're saying here. You know, I have a personal policy not to ever fully give up on players who have been productive and under 25 years of age. Unfortunately for Trey Lyles, he's neither of those things. He's not really ever been consistent or productive in anywhere that he's been at, even when he's been given a chance. And he's now 26 years old. So, you know, I think some people are going to look at this like a low risk, high reward. I honestly look at it as low risk, low reward. And I am with you, Aaron. I don't really see the upside here. I think there were more interesting players already on the Pistons roster signed to contracts that I would have rather kept than Trey Lyles. But on the other hand, this is kind of a signing right out of the Troy Weaver playbook. 6'9", stretch four, really long. That's the kind of player that Troy Weaver loves. So I'm not shocked that he made that signing. But yeah, I agree with you. I would have rather had Tyler Cook back next year. Or even, I know they don't even play somewhat similar positions, but I would have almost rather kept Servetus on the team, because then you don't have to, you know, have that dead money from his contract for the next 2 years. So I'm with you on that. I really, that's about it. That was a silly signing to me. Now, Aaron, the next signing that was made by the Pistons was one of their own guys who they had actually cut earlier in the week. Corey Joseph comes back to the Pistons on a 3-year deal, paying him $5 million per year as well. Same thing as Kelly Olynyk. There is that third year get out of jail free card for Troy Weaver. How did you feel about this one? Because this
2 years. I'm sorry. Wasn't this a 2 year 10?
I thought this was a 3 year, but you know what? I could totally be wrong. You know what? I think you're right. I think it was a 2 year 10.
I would say it was, but either way, yeah, really this one came out of left field. I was not expecting this. And I know, like, I'm saying that after, like, it was reported, the Pistons waived them, but they're expected to come to terms on a deal. Like, before that, I just was not expecting there to really be this opportunity for Joseph to return. I really did not enjoy watching Corey Joseph last year. That was very much in a standpoint of I wanted to watch Killian Hayes play point guard, not watch 29-year-old Corey Joseph will the Pistons to wins when they needed to lose and play the young guys. So by all means, he had a very productive stint with the Pistons, and he's going to help them as a backup guard, but kind of in the same light now, just a different player. I was very much ready to hand the backup backcourt keys to Sabin Lee, and that's just not going to be the case here. Corey Joseph is going to get minutes. Obviously, he's proven he's worth that. So, like, he's going to help them. He's a fine player. He's a prototypical backup, can do a little bit of everything, isn't great at anything in particular. But I just would have rather seen what Sabin Lee could have done out of the gates, and the signing of Corey Joseph eliminates that really being possible.
Yeah, this isn't a sexy signing by any means. And I don't think that most Pistons fans really wanted Corey Joseph back for a lot of the reasons you outlined there. He will probably help them win some games. That being said, he also played like inarguably the best basketball of his career with Detroit last season. And I do wonder if Troy Weaver kind of paid for the top, you know? He spent a little bit of money. It's not a lot of money, but he spent a little bit of money on a guy who's never going to give you the production that he gave you last year, probably ever again. And considering that you did just re-sign Sabin Lee to a full-time contract for 3 years, it doesn't really fully make sense to me. Now you almost have like a logjam at that backup point guard position, especially since Killian Hayes and Cade Cunningham are probably going to stagger minutes a little bit in terms of being the primary ball handler. I'd be surprised if they were on the floor at all times together. So I'm not crazy about it, especially since you also have $2.5 million of his dead money on the books. So you're not really just paying Corey Joseph $5 million a year. You're really, now you have $7.5 million a year in Corey Joseph. And that for me is way more than I want to pay for a guy that ideally is going to be my third point guard, right? Like, or really ideally is going to be your fourth point guard in a way. So not a sexy signing, much like the Olynyk one. I understand it on a superficial level. I just really can see how this in half a season is going to be looked at as kind of like a waste of money. And I can really see a future in where that happens pretty easily.
Yeah, it's just very similar to the Olynyk signing as to where it's not the sexiest. It's not maybe what you wanted, but it is going to help them win basketball games, which certainly by all sense of the imagination, it seems that they're going to be pretty serious about trying to do that this year. We're really on the same page on those three deals. And then obviously the last one, Sabin Lee, as of now, the last deal that we have from the Pistons front is Sabin Lee back on a 3 year deal. Don't have to get too in depth on that one, but we'll see him in summer league. So we'll see what type of progression he's made throughout the offseason. We know he's been around Killian Hayes, Sadiq Bey, Isaiah Stewart, as those guys have all been pretty much have spent the entire offseason in Detroit with one another. So,
you know, I have to say, that Corey Joseph contract, if it was just for 1 year, it would be so much more palatable. Because now next year, you're going into free agency and you just have this $5 million from Corey Joseph sitting on your books when you probably aren't going to need him. Ugh, I just really hate that because it feels like we're going to get another thing like Plumlee where you're going to have to attach a second round pick to him and probably move down in the second round again. And I hate having negative assets on my team. Maybe they're able to trade him at the deadline this year. Who knows? And we don't have to worry about it. But just like on a peripheral level, just the money and the years just don't work for me. They just don't work for me. And also, like you said, with the Saban Lee deal, I would like to know how much he's getting paid. I can't imagine it's much more than the minimum. But we still have not actually gotten the financial report out of that Saban Lee deal. So I would like to see that. But I'm more excited to see how he plays, like you said, in summer league with the rest of these Pistons young players.
Yeah, so let's move into that. That's our other main topic for today's show is summer league. That's starting up on Sunday for the Pistons, and their official roster was finally announced. They had to be the last team in the league to announce their summer league roster. Granted, we knew a good chunk of it, but now we finally got the full team, and headlined by obviously Cade Cunningham, the number one pick in the 2021 NBA draft. The Pistons draft picks from last year will also be there. Killian Hayes, Sadiq Bey, Isaiah Stewart, and Saben Lee. Sekou Doumbouya, now going into his third season, is also going to play. Not the most common thing you see out of a first round draft pick to be playing summer league in his third year, but he is going to be down there. And then the Pistons second year picks are all there as well from this year. So Luka Garza, Isaiah Livers, and Balza Koprivica. And then Davidas Servetus and Tyler Cook, who are both waived by the Pistons on Saturday, are also with the Pistons summer league roster. So Detroit, I think, even if they do re-sign Diallo and Frank Jackson, I want to say they'd still have one roster spot left.
I think they do. So I believe the roster spot they do have open right now is for Koprivica, who is not on the summer league roster as of this moment, since the Mason Plumlee trade, along with the 37th pick, for number 57, which was used on Koprivica, has not gone through yet, technically.
Technically there, but he is going to be there. The Pistons did say
yes.
Once the trade goes through. So,
and I also believe, and this is just kind of like cleaning things up, but Isaiah Livers will not be playing. Cool. Neither will rookie Chris Smith out of UCLA, nor will, unfortunately, Mr. Ankle injury needed for treatment, Isaiah Stewart. So, you know, that's kind of a shame that you won't be able to see Livers on the floor. I was looking forward to that, but it'll be nice to see what Luka Garza can do, you know, when he's actually on a playing with the pros, because we said this last week after the draft, there's a lot of question marks with that pick. It'll also be awesome to just see Cade Cunningham out there with Sadiq Bey, Sekou Doumbouya, Saben Lee, guys who will be on the team this year and will probably get some decent playing time for them as well. But yeah, I'm interested. How do you feel about Sekou Doumbouya being on this summer league roster as a third year player? You know, I know there wasn't a summer league last year, so he technically this is only his second summer league, but is it, in your eyes, a disappointment that he's on this roster? Or is it more of a case of it's just another opportunity for him to show his growth coming into the 2021 season?
It's definitely disappointing, in my opinion. Going into year three, like, no one said he needed to be a world beater, but for him to need to go to summer league, like, genuinely he needed to be at summer league, is a little disappointing considering the status that he carried when he was drafted. But on the flip side, to be fair, this is also a guy that didn't get the summer league last year, didn't get the G League last year. So, and his rookie season was ended short. Last year was obviously 10 games shorter. So he has gotten the short end of the stick in that regard, but he still absolutely needed to be there. And it is a little disappointing that he hasn't taken those strides, that at least maybe he's not the best player, but he still doesn't need to go to summer league. And, you know, I'm expecting him to perform well. He really does need to, especially the sense that you get reading the beat writers, who I've mentioned this before, but maybe they don't report on it, but sometimes they let their opinion kind of tell some of the things that maybe they've been told off the record or something of that nature. And all the beat writers seem to say, this is really important for Nuboya because he may not be on the team if things don't go well. And I really am buying into the reality of that. So this is certainly an audition for him. And yeah, I'm disappointed we're not going to see Livers and Stewart. The rest of the summer league is very, very lucky that Isaiah Stewart is not able to play because he was about to do some very bad things to some of those guys out there. I mean, there's just no, he was going to be way too good for summer league. So, I mean, the Pistons probably didn't need to bring him or Sadiq Bey, but I am very excited to see, obviously, Cade Cunningham, Sadiq Bey, Killian Hayes. Yeah, Sekou's got to step it up. Like, Sekou's got to be a key player for them here in summer league. And if he doesn't, like, I think there's a legitimate, legitimate concern. I mean, this, I get he was a project when he was drafted, but there needs to be, like, at least signs of growth. No one's saying it has to click all at once for him, but there's got to be some real signs. And you got to be able to, like, see where he has improved upon since we've last seen him. One other thing that I wanted to ask you about was this Tyler Cook and Davita Servetus. Like, this seems like it's setting up for a roster battle, whether it be the last spot on the roster or the second two-way contract, with both of them being waived and both of them being on the summer league team. Who we taking in that battle?
That's a difficult question, because Tyler Cook definitely looked like more of an NBA player than Servetus did last year. But Servetus is a guy who people who are still in this front office invested significant draft capital into. People do forget they traded 4 second-rounders for him. So for me, honestly, I think there's a good chance Cook looks better, but Servetus comes out of here with a roster spot. And I think the reason for that, in my eyes, is that they've already invested more in Servetus than they have in Cook. Also, but on the other hand, it's also like, if they waived Servetus after signing him to a 3-year deal last year and then bring him back again this year on another contract, John Hollinger is going to just absolutely lose his mind. Like, that is another thing where it's like, with these contracts sometimes with Troy Weaver, and like, I love the guy, but he does some goofy things with his free agency money. So yeah, for me, I'm gonna pick Servetus. I like his size, I like his skill set, and I think that there is something there, more so than Tyler Cook, who I think is pretty close to a finished product at this point. The last thing I wanted to ask you actually about the summer league roster is Cade Cunningham, apparently, according to the Detroit Pistons, is not 6'8". He is 6'6". Do you feel any sort of way about that? Does that concern you, or do you just not care? And you go, I mean, 6'8", 6'6", he's got a 7'1" wingspan either way. He's going to be a star either way.
They're fudging those numbers. They are absolutely fudging those numbers. All the measurements look off. Like, wasn't Tyler Cook listed at 6'9"? Wasn't like Stewart listed at 6'9"? Wasn't Servetus listed at 6'9"? Now they're all 6'8". Like, Killian Hayes was listed at 6'5" always.
Mm-hmm.
They're fudging these numbers. There's no way. We've seen Cade Cunningham. Like, that is not a 6'6" dude. That guy is 6'8". So
was going to say he's the same height at least as Isaiah Livers, and Livers is a legit 6'7", probably 6'8". So
yeah, no, it's they're messing. I don't know why they did that. I mean,
they're giving the old. It's the old.
What are you doing?
It's the old Kevin Garnett. Call me 6'11", so I don't have to play center thing. You know what I mean? That's almost what I wonder if it is. They don't want to put him at 6'8" because he's like, then someone's gonna make me play power forward, like Dwayne Casey was threatening.
Oh, don't worry, that's already being talked about. So
I'm sure. One other thing I do want
to.
One other thing I'm gonna just say this right now: if Saban Lee and Cade Cunningham. Or Saban Lee and Killian Hayes are on the floor at the same time, Saban Lee is going to get a monster, monster alley-oop from somebody in Summer League. He just signed that contract. He's got to be feeling good. He missed his opportunities to fully posterize someone last year. I feel it coming, Aaron. I think this is when it happens. He got so close multiple times last season. It's got to happen, right?
He's due. He's due. No doubt about it. One other thing, if there's a guy on this Piston Summer League roster that isn't under contract or wasn't just previously on the team that I think has an outside chance of maybe it's not with the Pistons, but finding his way onto an NBA roster in some way, shape, or form is Anthony Tark out of Coppin State. Jesus, sometimes it is hard to talk.
Hey, man, you're Coppin State right now. Oh, sorry. I apologize to the listeners for that.
But that's a guy that had a really productive couple of seasons there. Was a transfer, just did everything for them. Like, he was the leading scorer, was up there in rebounds, just stuffed the stat sheet. He was a multi-block, multi-steal type guy per game as well. So that's a guy that, you know, if there are games where the Pistons, like, don't play Sadiq Bey, which I think is very likely, I think, like, that's a guy that could come in and step up, and I might impress some people. So I'm excited to see what he does. The other guy is Spencer Littleton. You have to show love to the local guys. A Rochester Adams product, went to Toledo, led the NCAA in three-pointers made. Like, that's another guy that, he's not maybe the best basketball player, but shooting is so valuable that if he comes in and is showing that he can hit those NBA range threes consistently, like, he's going to get onto a roster, even if it's just a two-way deal. That's just how it is in today's league. I don't know necessarily if he'll have the shot to get out there that much, but if it's the same kind of situation as I mentioned with Tark and Bay misses a game or two, they'll probably end up doing the same with someone like Killian Hayes and probably Cade Cunningham. So there should be some opportunity for him. And it would not surprise me if he comes out and earns at least a two-way spot just because he can shoot the ball so well.
Yeah. I'm with you on Tark as well. So one of the major thing that a lot of drafts people will say is an indicator of professional success, especially as a defender, is steal rate. Tark he averaged 2.6 steals per game last year, along with two blocks, which is, yes, Coppin State is in the MEAC, which is a mouthful to say, but doesn't have much basketball talent usually. Those are ridiculous defensive numbers at any level of basketball. And even when he was at New Jersey Institute of Technology or UTEP, those steal numbers were elevated pretty much the whole time. So I'm with you on that. I would be really interested to see how he plays, if some of that defensive play can carry over into the NBA. I think that he is a guy that, you know, Troy Weaver really, really likes those types of players. Athletes that can make plays on both ends of the floor. So I am with you on that. I'm also going to be keeping an eye out for him. But I don't know. I do think really that when it comes down to it, that 15th roster spot, or even maybe one of those two-way spots, I think there is a lot of different things that could happen with it there. And a lot of it could come down to summer league play. Like you said, Sekou Doumbouya, if he doesn't play well in summer league, it's very unlikely that he's going to be staying in Detroit for much longer. So
yeah, dead money did not bother Troy Weaver.
My question to you would be, you know, you've talked about a couple guys that you're looking forward to. Is there anyone that you're maybe concerned about going into summer league? Of course, we talked about Sekou, but, you know, Killian Hayes struggled at times last year. Luka Garza has a lot of questions about him. Is there anyone coming into this that you're maybe a little worried for? That's you're really looking out for in the sense of, I need this guy to show me something.
I mean, it's probably got to be Killian Hayes. I'm not of the Pistons Twitter ilk that like is at this guy's throat and doesn't want him on this team after what he played 30 games.
Not the Sada baby sect.
No. And the fact that I know of that, but I don't like never knew who he was until like there was this issue with him and Killian Hayes. Like just shows you how little that guy matters, even though I don't really listen to rap music in general. But
if Sada Baby is listening, I just want to say I do not share that opinion. Please do not kill me. Continue.
Well, Killian Hayes needs to show some stuff. If he doesn't, it's going to get ugly on Twitter. It's going to get ugly in my phone messages because I have people texting me about him consistently. So for my personal well-being and his personal professional well-being, hopefully he goes out there and performs well.
Yeah, I'm personally really interested to see how Luka Garza looks out there because this is a pick that to us did not make sense, to a lot of draft people did not make sense. And really, of course, it's just a second rounder, but could blow up in Troy Weaver's face a little bit if he goes out there and is what we kind of suspect he's going to be, which is a guy who can get you 10 points in 8 minutes on offense, but will give up about 20 on defense in that same time span.
There's a lot coming out about him right now, though. I mean, there seems to be some hype generating. Supposedly, he's lost a lot of weight. They're talking about how his footwork has not been a problem so far. And if that is the case, like, devil's advocate, that could end up being a very nice pick. I mean, if he is down 35, 40 pounds, like, that is certainly going to help him. So, Summer League's going to be a great opportunity to see where he's at with no Isaiah Stewart in the mix. So I actually am really excited to see what he can do because offensively he really does bring some stuff to the table that is helpful to Detroit.
Yeah, there's no question that offensively his skills can translate to the NBA. There's no reason for me to believe that he can't succeed on that end of the floor, kind of like Enes Kanter, for example. But yeah, of course, like you said, it's really that other end of the floor. And I'm interested to see whether all this talk surrounding Luka Garza and his foot speed is just that talk, or if there is something to it. And by losing all that weight, he's really changed his game. Because look, if he can just give you like the bare minimum of perimeter defense, if he can give you like what Brook Lopez does even on the perimeter, you're going to be really happy with that pick. And that's a steal in the second round because his offensive skill set is so, so refined and so advanced for a player of his size.
The Garza-Koprivica center battle throughout summer league is going to be really fun to watch. And it was probably going to be tough for both of them to get legitimate minutes if Isaiah Stewart was healthy and playing, but I'm very excited that we're going to get to see both those. The Pistons should have a very, very good summer league. It starts on Sunday against Oklahoma City Thunder. Let's get the predictions now. Are the Pistons going to be the 2021 summer league champs?
I don't know, man. The Portland Trailblazers are basically bringing in a roster of like 35-year-olds. They have like Kenneth Faried is on their summer league roster. I'm going to say no. If they had Isaiah Stewart, my answer would be yes. But I worry about their interior defense. I don't really see the big men there. And like I said, if teams like Portland are bringing in guys nicknamed the Manimal. I'm a little bit worried for that interior of the Pistons summer league roster. So no, my answer is going to be, I don't think they will. I think they will acquit themselves quite well. I think they will win several games. If not, I think they'll win at least three of their games. But I do see some holes in this roster to where I am not confident that they will be able to win it. Just comes down to that Isaiah Stewart ankle injury, unfortunately for me. How about you, Aaron?
Give me those Pistons.
Love
They're
it.
They're starting 1, 2, and 3 with the summer league team. Killian Hayes, Cade Cunningham, Sadiq Bey. They have so many roster guys. Sekou Doumbouya, Tyler Cook. And then those second round bigs that we've been talking about. They got Saben Lee coming off the bench. This is a deep team. I'm serious about how much I like Anthony Tark. I think that guy's got some stuff to bring to the table. He's going to look good in summer league because guys take bad shots and try to do too much. Defensively, he's going to capitalize on that. He's going to pick the ball away. He's going to be, you know, in the passing lanes. This is a team, in my opinion, that's very well equipped. They got so many NBA roster guys, and they just have talent. Cade Cunningham and Sadiq Bey. It's got to be the best 1-2 punch in summer league. I just can't think off the top of my head of any other duo that's better than those two going into Las Vegas. So I'm very, very excited to watch them play. The only reason that the Pistons wouldn't win it is if they end up, you know, taking Sadiq Bey and Cade and Killian and resting them and not playing them, which is very possible because that seems to be the case every year with guys that look like they don't belong in summer league. So give me those Pistons. They broke my heart in summer league years ago when Luke Kennard couldn't get them through the finals. They made it to the championship, and I believe it was the Magic or the Mavs who they lost to. But it's a revenge season. They're going to get the job done.
All right. I just have to say, man, I'm not betting against a front court of Kenneth Faried and Michael Beasley. Sorry, I can't bring myself to do it. But I certainly hope I'm wrong, because if I am, that means that the Pistons guards have played extremely well and that they found a couple diamonds in the rough down low in their rookie big man. So, yeah, I also think, I will say, Tyler Cook could definitely, definitely give them some very good minutes at the four spot as well.
Yeah, that's a deep team. So I'm looking forward to it.
They are quite deep.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially in the backcourt. I mean, Saben Lee, Killian Hayes, Cade Cunningham. That's pretty good, man. That's a pretty good backcourt for a summer league roster, especially since all three of those guys are going to be getting significant playing time for Detroit in the regular season this year.
At least we hope on the Saben front. We'll see.
Don't get me started here, man. He needs to be getting some playing time. I can't do another 20 minutes of Corey Joseph a night. The mind is willing, but the body is not able. So
I was trying to end the pod on a positive note with the Pistons championship. So I'm going to save face here, wrap it up now before we get any darker, any deeper. That is going to do it for us this week on the Palace of Pistons podcast, part of the Bleav Podcast Network. Make sure to follow us on social media at Palace of Pistons on Twitter, Palace of Pistons on Instagram. You can follow our page on Facebook. Obviously, our website, palaceofpistons.com. Thank you so much to our sponsor, betonline.ag. Make sure to check them out as well. Fulfill all your betting needs. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time after some summer league action here on the Palace of Pistons podcast.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.